All right, guys, we made it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here.
2019, everybody.
A little bit out of order, depending on when these things get released, but
oh, yeah, well, give or take upload dates. It takes a week for each episode to be new, so Marvel will be us. Nonetheless, we have finally finished Power Rangers in Space, all 43 episodes from 1998. I thought it was 99.
We were finished with the cavity that is Turbo.
So we are happily into Lost Galaxy, which is so far shaping up really good. Can't complain. Definitely a lot more of a sequel to Space than I remember. So being with the Astro Mega Ship and
also inadvertently a spinoff of Starship Troopers.
True.
But what we're going to discuss today is our Power Rangers in Space review.
Yeah, we're here. The best and last of the Zordon era.
So, we do consider this the last of Zordon, like,
officially,
Lost Galaxy is kind of like the first sequel to me.
It's like a sequel to the Zordon era, but it's not like Zordon era. You know, it's like a sequel. Like it's still a continuation.
So if I didn't mention it before, everybody, welcome to 335 Live, literally the show that we have named this after.
Yeah, this is the season for anybody that maybe doesn't get why we're called 335 Live.
Yeah, and, well, actually, fun fact, we're actually going to be seeing Andros in person later this month. Christopher, I can never pronounce, I'm going to ask him how he pronounces his last name. Yeah. I'm going to just ask him, be like,
I just can never remember his name.
Yeah, so anyway, we're going to be seeing Andros later this month, so it's actually perfect fitting, so.
Yeah.
By all means, it's got a lot of questions for him. We'll let you know how that entire, event goes.
Yeah.
So, more or less, we're going to start off with our season recap review of In Space, 43 episodes, from Out of Nowhere, Part 1 and 2.
It literally takes place right where Turbo left off, with them launching in the rocket. You know, they're chasing after Zordon, because Zordon's been captured. And it's basically chaos. Like, basically, like, all hell has broken loose. We're introduced to, like, the best female villain in, like, anything ever of this time period, at least.
I don't know, Rita's still
I still think Rita's the best.
Yeah. Rita is the best in terms of, like, comedic value, but in terms of, like, eye candy, like, Astronema, hands down.
There's never been a prettier villain.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's never been better, like.
I don't like her wigs, though. Some of them are just fuggly.
I mean, I'm fine with them. I mean, they're obnoxious, but, like, I'm fine with them.
So basically, from Out of Nowhere, Part 1, the Rangers in Alpha 6 are sucked into the unknown high-tech spaceship known as the Astro... They are in the cockpit of the...
They're in a shuttle.
Yeah, like, it's like the Astro shuttle.
They're in a normal, like, space shuttle.
And what we find out is that at the end of Turbo, Justin mentions something, goes to the commander.
God, we love the commander.
The commander's a great guy, man.
and he decides to stay on Earth.
He was probably Zordon's most trusted human ally, more than Rangers even. I mean, he basically trusted this, you know, had this contingency plan.
He had that ship ready for him.
He's like, listen, Commander, if anything happens to me, boom, like,
send the Rangers in the ship.
Space.
So, I wonder how long the Commander was waiting on that call. Because as soon as he saw Justin, he was like, what the hell's going on? And whatever he whispered into his ear. When, you know what? If I meet Blake Foster, I want to legit ask him, what was that line that you whispered?
It probably was nothing.
I know, but I'm saying there was... The actual kind.
If he even can remember.
I'm sure he will. But I mean, I could probably just tweet him and see if I get an answer.
That probably would be a little easier.
So basically, he whispers into the commander's, and the commander, he looks at his security guards, and the security guards, he looks at him and he's like, you two, shut the fuck up. What is this kid saying? Kid comes over and literally, whatever Justin whispers into his ear, the commander goes into a panic just as much as the Power Rangers are. Which he's like, get them a ship immediately. I don't know what he says exactly per the line, but it's... The commander's like... He must have said Zordon's been taken where the Power Rangers... or the Power Rangers need your help or something like that. And immediately he's like, you just lost your... to quote Infinity War, you just lost your best line of defense. That's pretty much it, man. So then Out of Nowhere Part 2, while we get a whole introduction. Who is... Andros, Astro Megaship, Astronema.
I feel like we're going a little too quick.
We get this big summit of every Power Rangers villain that has ever existed.
Dinner
pretty
party.
Much.
Of
oh,
sorts.
The first party, yes.
Yeah. We're Which at this huge dinner party where, like, Diva Tox is celebrating a lookalike, you know, to her husband, or fiance, rather, Dark Spectre.
Malagor.
Yeah. We finally get to see Dark Spectre. Even though he's literally just Malagor from Turbo.
He's just a Malagor.
They even reference it.
He's just a Malagor floating around in space, pretty much.
But we get to see him, and, like, Divatox is trying to kiss ass, and then we find out that, like, Divatox isn't going to be, like, the leader of sorts and, you know, the big plan to take over the universe, and we're introduced to Astronema. And at the dinner, you know, when this episode aired, there was no real promotional commercials or anything that showed you who the Red Ranger was. It was shrouded in mystery, even to the point that the opening credits didn't have Andros in it. He wasn't featured in it.
Yeah.
So like that was like the big thing. It's like what does he look like? Is he an old character? And of course he's not. But we find out he's Space Legolas, Andros.
He comes out in this Jedi robe.
Yeah, literally Jedi robe.
You know, infiltrating this, you know, summit of evil or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the coolest introductions to a character, like, on this show, where, like, literally, like, he throws the cloak off and he's already in costume. And
he's got his hang glider going.
Yeah, he summons his surfboard.
I mean, you find that out. It was actually a little tidbit of a fun fact that I was researching, is that it was something that, I mean, a lot of fans might have just overlooked but not really considered, is that Andros and Zane are the only Rangers to not be enrolled at Angel Grove.
Yes.
Well, yeah, they're the first Rangers not associated, like, with the city. Like
I thought Andros was enrolled once they bring
with the
Earth.
Exception of the Alien Rangers. I'll throw that into a subcategory.
True. I always forget about them.
Like Zordon's main Rangers, because even Zordon didn't really. Even the Aquitar Rangers, because Alpha's the one who said, "What about the Rangers on Aquitar?" And Zordon's like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about them." That was basically how that conversation went.
Well, Zordon just seemed to not...
He didn't look like he wanted to bother them.
Well, he doesn't like leaving something defenseless. Mm-hmm. You know, like, having the Aquitar people come to Earth would have left, like, whatever...
Their fucking planet.
Yeah, yeah, it would have left them defenseless.
Didn't even know they could survive on Earth.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that too, as we find out they need water. But,
Yeah, the 40 minutes of the first two episodes does not slow down at all.
Yeah, we're introduced to how, like, the writing for this show got so much better... Where, like, it was a continuous, ongoing story. Like, there really was very few episodes that really were filler. Like, almost every episode, even to, like, a small degree, furthered the plot a little bit.
And it ties every continuity loophole of the entire Zordon era.
Yeah.
Except for one, which we already know. But
yeah,
I'll get into that later.
Okay, so basically we have the recurring team, with the exception of Justin from Turbo going into space, Carlos, Cassie, TJ, and Ashley. And the first thing, when they first meet Andros, Ashley's like, she's so funny to me. That scene where she's like looking at him, expecting him to like...
Yeah, she's just checking him out.
And he's like, and Andros is like, what the hell is this bitch doing? Because the line is literally, she's like, you're human. He's like... Yeah, I'm from KO-35. You're not the only humans in the galaxy, idiots.
Yeah. You know, yeah, apparently humans are on other planets in this universe.
He's like,
maybe
yeah.
ours, I don't know.
Yeah, but moving on to... Yeah, Scotty?
Andros kind of just refuses the help from the Rangers at first.
Which we find out why
I wouldn't trust that, honestly.
Well, we find out the reason for it later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's another thing that's cool, too, is that, like, there's a build-up. You know, to this new Ranger team, like, they don't even morph until the second episode. You know, only Andros is, like, a Ranger, so mm-hmm. we don't really see that until part two, and then there's a little switcheroo in the colors.
Well, Andros was given the Astro Megaship from Zordon. Little did Andros didn't even know the Astro Megaship could transform.
Yeah. There was never a need for it, I guess, prior.
Which is awesome.
Because he didn't have a team. He didn't know.
He didn't have a team. And I guess the monsters must have never grown big.
Nor did he know that the head of this ship was on Earth. He didn't know that.
No, he had no fucking
idea. Because he wasn't responsible for defending Earth. He was just responsible for... He was obsessed with, you know, finding who his sister is, pretty much.
That's, again, the other big twist of the whole series is that Andros the entire time is looking for his sister. That's basically... Before any of Zordon's, like, kidnapped... how can I word it, man?
But.
Before his kidnapping took place, that was still his main premise, was to find his sister.
Well, he was acting in... No, the reason why he was at that dinner and stuff, that little summit of villains, was because he was trying to find out, like, what the deal was, like, what they were planning to do with Zordon. Like, he was in response to, the distress call to everybody that, like, shit went down on Eltar.
but as the season goes on, he kind of gets sidetracked from that. Like, you get Andros is on more of a personal mission, and Zordon takes kind of a back seat, even though...
He literally went to go find his sister and accidentally found Zordon.
No, the whole reason for his involvement was Zordon. Until he meets Darkonda, then he starts to realize that's the same dude who stole my sister.
But I'm saying, that comes in the last episode, we'll skip it, we'll wait for that, actually. So, moving on to episode 3, Save Our Ship. Power Rangers turn home to an explosive welcome on Earth from Ecliptor and Astronema. This is where we get introduced to Adels.
Yeah, we get introduced to the new version of Ernie's, which look like they have amazing french fries, by the way. Like, they're huge! They get served, like, these huge basket of fries that make me jealous.
I don't know what episode it is, but I'll just say it for the conversation. When do Bulk and Skull meet the Professor?
This episode, I think.
I think
it was this one.
That's a whole story in its own. Lieutenant Stone...
Not much of one.
...literally sold off the place and retired.
Matt's man, Lieutenant Stone, is gone.
Yeah, it sucks.
Going the way of Rocky, thankfully.
Thankfully. But, and funnily enough, like, it's interesting how throughout the entirety of the show, Bulk and Skull are featured in the credits, but they're only in, like, 10 episodes. Like, in total.
I feel like they're only in about 15 episodes.
Maybe 15.
If you know Saban, any editing that literally had to pay extra to do, he would just fucking leave it in there.
I guess so. But it's just interesting. Like, this is also the first season that Bulk and Skull have, like, little role, like, at all. Like, up, like, from Mighty Morphin well through Turbo, like,
they had more here than they did in fucking Turbo.
They had more character progression.
And they actually keep their job the entire season.
They do. Yeah, they do keep their job well into next season, too. But also, what's cool is that, like I mentioned before, with how every episode kind of furthers the plot along, like, this episode literally ends leading into the next episode, which is our crossover with the Ninja Turtles.
It is the greatest crossover of all time.
Very fun episode.
It's extremely fun. Like, say what you will, like, if you absolutely hated this incarnation and wish this incarnation of the Turtles never existed, but if there's one reason why that incarnation of Turtles should have existed, it's for this episode.
Mm-hmm. Like, this episode, we already did a live reaction on it.
So we don't need to go into it too much. Other than it's
great.
I'll
post the live reaction after this review.
Yeah, it's great, and, like, it kind of gives you the idea of how the rest of the show is going to be. Like, a lot of references to, like, the older shows and you know, the some of the spin-offs that Saban did.
Moving on to more Ecliptor-based episodes, which is, for a side villain, I really feel like a lot of the times that he was the main character of that whole team that was literally... He played the father figure role of Astronema.
He was a more badass version of Goldar. Like he was what Goldar wanted to be.
Yeah. So moving on from Shell Shock to a Never Stop Searching, Episode 5, Andros returns to his home planet, KO-35, in search of his sister. This is when this pretty much becomes an issue.
This is the main... one of the. I mean, other than finding Zordon, this is the main...
Yeah.
What do you call it? The main plot?
This is Andros' main plot, but the main plot is to find Zordon.
And you'll never guess who his sister is.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Let's see. And then we have Satellite Search, Episode 6. This is actually, for the first time, I think we see, like, a lot of Sentai footage.
Is this where we find out that
the commander knew, and Joe and I were
speculating
throughout the whole thing. The commander contacts the Rangers to go find this missing disc information from the satellite.
Well, it says, I keep calling it NASA. NASADA asked the Rangers to help retrieve a crashed satellite with important data on Dark Spectre's operations. Which is weird to me, because they had a... So you're telling me the commander must have known about Dark Spectre?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, they know that.
So, moving on from episode 6 to episode 7, Ranger Thieves.
The only important thing, really, from episode 6 is just that they get the CDs that later unlock a new Zord.
Yeah, which is still pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the Astro Megaship is by far one of my favorite Zords, but...
the Delta Megazord.
Delta Megazord's fucking sexy. Even though it's a weak piece of shit, let's be honest, as a standalone Zord, literally, that thing went down like fucking... like it was nothing. Ranger Among Thieves, while the Rangers are busy taking a test in school, Andros gets mixed up with a gang of car thieves. This is a funny episode.
It's an intro.
This is one of those filler kind of episodes.
It is
But it's funny to see Andros react to you know, try and make friends on Earth.
Yeah, and he doesn't realize, like, what he's actually involved in. Like, it's one of those things where, like, he's, like, completely innocent in the sense that, like, people are lying to him, but he just genuinely believes them. Because, you know, he's not... He's literally an alien, so he doesn't know, like, what's going on until towards the ending. And, of course, with this being a kid show, you know, at least two of the people that he hangs out with have a change of heart. And, you know...
Yeah, the other guy, like... characters I hate in Power Rangers, Fred's number one. Two is Fred's dad. And three is probably that particular bad guy in that fucking group, that group gang.
What about the biker guy from Zio, that Jason's girlfriend? You kind of hated him, too.
I did hate him, but he apologized to Jason. Oh, no, did he?
Nah, man. Jason's girlfriend beat him up, didn't he?
Well, his girlfriend certainly did.
Well, Jason got the girl, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it
works. I'm all right with Jason.
Can we go back to Fred? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
There will be an entire podcast of telling you it's going to be part of the Why series, why I don't like Fred. And why I think he was the worst decision for that movie.
Sure.
Justin comes off like a saint.
Justin, admittedly, and you'll hear that in the Turbo podcast, like, not that bad. Like,
Joe's disdain for Fred is pretty legendary, guys.
I'm actually mind blown that you look at him now, dude, like... I mean, the guy's, like definitely, he's moved on since Power Rangers, but he doesn't do any, like, appearances or anything. Like, I thought that they would reuse this character in the Zordon era, and they never fucking did. Like, it was just a one-off in the movie, but, it's just...
Well, they pretty much didn't associate anything canon-wise in the Zordon era from that movie, pretty much, either.
And it's weird, because Ivan Ooze is still one of the greatest villains in Power Rangers history.
Yes, he is. He's still extremely memorable.
So, and what was Goldar's third cousin twice removed on his mother's side?
The porcine guy.
Morton.
Yeah. Moving on.
Comes to shove.
This is another filler episode, guys.
Cassie is trapped in a building under attack.
The episode where her diary gets stolen. And she's forced to go on the date
with
him. Yeah, she's forced to go on a date with this dude. Who's, like, really kind of, like, insecure, and he has this friend who does, like, all
Ed Sheeran
for it. Yeah, discount Ed Sheeran.
No, I think it's actually Ed Sheeran.
We also get introduced to this vehicle that they only use 3 times.
And
like,
it takes
literally
forever.
3 times.
Which tank? That van thing.
It's the only time they ever use this thing.
No, they use it like 3 times, like throughout the series.
I hate this thing. I'll get into it.
It's dumb. It's dumb, especially with how it's used here, where they could have easily used the mega ship to get like Cassie and like her not boyfriend out of the building, but instead
Cassie
they
looks
a tank.
And Cassie seems like a chill girl to date too. After watching that,
this is also. An episode, sorry, not to cut you off, but this is also an episode where, like, we get this weird continuation of, like, the rules of Zordon, where they're too afraid to morph in front of people now, but they're completely different powers that are not, like, Zordon's been captured, but they're still obeying that rule of, like, keeping their identity secret, and then we'll learn later on in the series that people do find out who they are, and there's, like, there's no consequences. Like, the villains know who they are anyway, so there's really no consequences to people knowing who they are.
And honestly, the citizens of Angel Grove didn't... Actually, Zane didn't give two shits. He goes, guys, we're just gonna tell everyone.
We'll get to that later, because that's another stupid, like, plot point when we get to Zane. But...
Zane's a fucking G, man. He came off that ship looking like he just fucked that...
Zane's the best.
Corona. That shit was so funny. Next episode 9. Dying.
Plus, on top of that, these Rangers never worked with Zordon.
What are you talking about?
Andros and Zane knew Zordon.
No, Andros did, but TJ and them worked with Dimitri, not Zordon. They only met Zordon once.
Yeah, I see.
Dimitri never once said, or maybe did Zordon in the power transfer say that you have to keep your identity secret?
No, he didn't say that.
Are you sure?
He was just there to celebrate. He was just there to celebrate the other Rangers graduating, pretty much.
I mean, I'm sure that information was, like, passed down. Or something, But it's just like, it's just weird because, you know, in the first show,
I don't know, I think it was more of a rule for Jason's team, honestly.
Well, right. It was a rule for like the Mighty Morphin powers, but it was never really established for the other ones. Like it was just almost like a tradition, really.
I mean, even going forward, it ain't a rule for fucking Leo in his
team. No. Yeah. As the secret identity thing gets thrown out the window, like after, like especially in Lightspeed Rescue. In Lightspeed Rescue, everybody knows who they are. Like they're public knowledge.
Yeah. Moving on to episode nine, one of Matt's favorite episodes.
Yeah,
the crater renovation.
I love this episode.
This is pretty much, you know, they use these pink putty guys from the Sentai, which fits really well here in this episode.
Yeah, because like funnily enough, the Quantrons, which are like the putties of this season, were not from the Sentai. They're actually an original creation. In the Sentai Mega Ranger, Denji Sentai Mega Ranger, which translates into Electromagnetic Sentai, or Electromagnetic Squadron Mega Ranger.
Which we have watched a couple episodes.
Yeah, we have actually watched like the first like 3 episodes.
Real quick, the helmets.
What about them?
What we learned, what they do inside the helmets.
I don't remember like what their special gimmicks were. I actually don't remember.
Yeah, apparently they all actually do something.
Yeah, like, if you watch this show, you'll remember, especially the first couple times they morph, they put a lot of emphasis to these, like, symbols in that little circle on top of their helmet. It plays a role in the Sentai. It doesn't really play a role in Power Rangers, but there's a purpose. Like, each ranger had, like, a special power having to do with, like, technology.
Because Cassie actually used hers once.
Once.
But, I love the morphing sequence here in space. It's very quick.
It gets to the point. Bam. Like, yeah, just like it's kind of like Mighty Morphin. Like, Mighty Morphin's was pretty quick, too. And it's just like that. Like, it gets to the point. Like, they do the 335. You see, like, all this technology stuff.
What's said in red in that text about, what is it, gangster idiots?
I don't remember the exact wording, but it's funny. Like, if you pause it, like, you can read what it says on the side, and it's actually really funny.
Yeah.
Where we are in the Sentai, the morphing sequence doesn't look like that yet, but it eventually looks like that. So there's probably some context that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny when you don't know the context. It's funny. But anyway, going back to the episode, this episode is very heavily Sentai footage used because the focus is on what the putty guys in the Sentai are. And what's funny is that they do kind of look like putties. They kind of look like an evolution of the putties. And here they're called Craterites. They come out of like the training simulation on the megaship. They fight these guys to train and they like wind up becoming real.
And what's cool is these Rangers who were Turbo Rangers and now Space Rangers, we actually get to see them practice, you know, like a Danger Room, like X-Men type, like actually training to be better Rangers, which is cool, you know?
Yeah, which we didn't get too much of, at least since Mighty Morphin. At least in Mighty Morphin, you would see
them. Mighty Morphin, they trained together.
Yeah, they would be in the gym and they would practice stuff, so like they were keeping up, but in other shows, they just kind of, you know, just would morph.
Even the 2017 movie, when they trained in the pit, there was like literally 11 days of training.
Yeah, that was one thing I'd appreciate as a montage, but I guess other than, you know, the fact that I think this episode is a lot of fun because it's really stupid and goofy. There's like a boy who cried wolf subplot involved in the movie where like this kid lies a lot and then like something bad actually happens and people like to, and you know, basically the episode ends with them with like, did you learn your lesson, Sonny? And he's like, yeah. And everyone's like, ah, you know, like all 90s shows. But yeah, that's about it for this episode.
Episode 10, The Wasp with a Heart. Oh, I like this one.
Waspicable.
I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, he's a hard kind of monster from Earth and is torn between his caring nature and his loyalty to his evil brother, Sting King.
Yeah.
He actually genuinely, all he was doing was like picking flowers.
Yeah.
And minding his own business, and somebody was, I think it was his brother, was like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And literally bullies him to death.
The evolved form of Beedrill, has a twin brother, and his twin brother, you know, is the, every season from here on out has an episode like this, where there's, like, a monster who's not a bad guy, like, he really just wants to live, like, a normal life, but because he's a monster, like, he has to adhere to the stereotype that he has to be a monster, and, you know, the message is good, you know, for kids, I guess, but, you know, once you see one of these episodes, you've seen them all.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
And it's a good episode, but like it becomes a cliche like after this.
All right, episode 11. Delta Discovery, the Phantom Ranger discovers where Dark Spectre is hiding.
This is Scotty. One of my favorite episodes, literally. We get, you know, the Phantom Ranger's been basically find out that he's been looking for Zordon. Mm-hmm. That's been his main mission. And he gives the Rangers these key cards to help them activate the Delta Megazord.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we're introduced to the Delta Megazord. It's a really good episode.
Is it his Megazord?
Artillatron?
No, I'm saying, was it just his Megazord?
It's never said. It's never said if it's, like, specifically his, but he knows how to get it,
basically. He knows how to get it. He has the information to get it.
Yeah.
As he's injured pretty much the whole episode, and...
Yeah, he gets, like, the ass kicked at him.
Cassie is reunited with him, and they really don't get... They tease more of, you know, what they started with Turbo, but they don't...
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere, unfortunately.
It doesn't go anywhere, yeah. It's one of those, like, drop storylines.
Poor
yeah.
Billy.
But like, you can see that there was definitely, I think, halfway through the show, some type of writing change or something, because there's a lot of things that are established early on in the show that
I don't think really they tried anywhere. Getting David Yost back during the season.
That could be it. That could be
because
it.
That was supposed to be was it Jude Blinn?
I forget
who we were talking about. It was one of the producers even said
yeah.
that one of the bigger reveals at the end of the episode of the season was going to be Billy as the Phantom Ranger.
Yep.
But unfortunately, David Yost, the actor.
Yeah,
they were not on speaking terms.
This is still fresh. From, yeah,
damn you!
From, like, the
so
conflict.
That's Billy is the Phantom Ranger. That's who he is, and I hope that Boom Studios ends up doing more about him.
I guess we'll find out since I bought a couple of the comics.
Yeah.
So what we shall definitely
supposedly find out. They do intend to reveal that in a comic book at some point.
From what we've heard. Yeah, that'd be cool. I hope so. Like, there's so much potential in the comic book series, which I recommend anybody who's a Power Ranger fan, start reading the Boom Studios comics. There's two series. There's the Mighty Morphin series, and then there's Go-Go Power Rangers.
Kimberly also has her own series.
It was a mini... It's over, though. It was just a mini series, but yes.
I'm enjoying the Mighty Morphin series currently.
I'm actually starting it tomorrow.
Cool.
I'll pass that on to Joe when I'm done with the books that I have already. But I know Maddie picked up a couple the other day.
Yeah, I picked up the new, like, after Shattered Grid, like, post Shattered Grid is, like, a good jumping on point in case you haven't been caught up. Because it's, like, a new team. It's a hodgepodge team of, like, different generations of Rangers.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Episode 12, The Great Evilizer. fucking Professor.
Professor Phenomenus.
I love Professor Phenomenon.
He's
actually great. I know Joe's not a big fan of the guy.
I like the character, but oh my god, he's so over the top.
He added a layer to Bulk and Skull. Like,
yeah.
And the fact that he enjoyed their company more than Lieutenant Stone. Like, he wasn't correcting. Like, he was just happy to have them along. You know what I mean? For his crazy experiments or whatever. And the guy actually does know what he's doing.
He's literally, like, their best friend, in a way. Like, that's how the Professor sees it. Like, those are his friends, I guess. But Lieutenant Stone was literally their fucking caretaker.
Yeah. Basically, what winds up happening in this episode is, like, Professor Phenomenus creates a device that, for some reason, he thinks it's a good idea to make a device that has the potential to turn objects evil. Like, literally, there's a setting on the gun that says evil.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Astronomus steals it and uses it to turn one of the Megazords. I think it's the Delta, but I can't remember which one. Evil, and it starts attacking the Rangers.
No, it's the Astro.
Oh, is it the Astro?
Yeah, okay. Because they have to use the Delta to take it.
Right, that's right.
Sure, it wasn't the Mega Voyager, or did we get there yet?
Not yet. The Voyager's not there yet.
I thought that's what,
No, they get the Gatling gun dude first.
Okay.
And then they get the Mega Voyager.
Speaking of,
yeah.
we've totally ignored the fact that the other leftover from Turbo, Elgar, is...
Oh, yeah, Elgar's in the show.
Basically...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Entrenched as... You know, second in command of Dark, of Ecliptor.
I would say he's third in command.
Ecliptor.
Ecliptor.
By Dark Spectre. Dark Spectre basically says to Astronomer, yeah, you have Elgar now.
He invited himself kind of onto the ship, and he constantly gets thrown into, like, this torture room with this thing called, I forget the name, it was like Scrappy. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we never get to see what this monster is. We never see it, but it's funny. But I absolutely hate the next episode.
I think it's great. Grandma Matchmaker? I don't even remember this. Episode 13?
It's an episode where Ashley's really obnoxious and annoying grandmother comes by to visit, like, Ashley. And, she's, like, some old-fashioned grandma who wants, like, Ashley to have, like, a boyfriend. So she asks Carlos... to pose. Yeah, for some reason, Carlos to pose as a fake boyfriend of sorts.
I don't remember. And
it's for good reason. It's a bad episode.
Considering they were hooking up in real life anyway. I mean,
yeah,
they might have been done at the time. Who knows?
It's a like this grandmother, like the actress or whatever. Carlos she would make you pull your hair out.
Carlos apparently also has become this engineer or mechanical expert with Justin gone, so he's kind of morphed into that.
Out of nowhere.
Surprisingly out of nowhere, yeah.
Out of nowhere, he's good at repairing.
He's fixing stuff. Alpha 6.
Dude, they all had fucking hobbies on the ship. Even TJ basically comes second in command.
Alpha 6's voice changes, thank God. We forgot to go into that.
Because you know what? It was something we didn't have to mention. I mean, realistically, it was not like something that was so irritating that it pierced my... Like, I put it on and the television screen broke. That's how bad Alpha's voice was in Turbo.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So... All right, episode 14.
This is a fun episode. This is the John Carpenter episode where
we're introduced to Darkonda.
Yeah, we're introduced to Darkonda.
Is the Boba Fett of this series? I mean,
he's
awesome, except he speaks a lot more.
Nah, he lived more than Boba Fett.
Darkonda is this alien who we later find out is responsible for.
Kidnapping Andrew's sister.
Missing.
So.
And funnily enough.
And he's a rival with Ecliptor.
He's kind of like a cat where, like, we later find out he has multiple lives. So, like, he keeps coming back, like, throughout the series after being killed.
What is his beef with Ecliptor? What was his actual beef?
It was just, like, a power struggle. And I think Ecliptor remembers. Darkonda's, role in kidnapping her. Like Ecliptor was just protective of Astronema.
As he said, he goes, literally, she was thrown on my doorstep, and I think that's why he's pissed at him.
Well, Ecliptor cares about Astronema.
But when he showed up, Ecliptor told him that he wasn't allowed in that part of the galaxy or universe or some shit.
Yeah.
There's, like, a legit rivalry between them.
Well, Vin, welcome to the podcast.
Sanctioned him.
What?
Yeah, Vin's here,
somebody had sanctioned him. Or something, because Darkonda tells him that he's not supposed to be in that territory or whatever. He says this is my territory or some shit like that.
I'm so happy you remembered that, because I had no fucking idea.
There you go.
I have no idea.
Also in this episode...
This is the first season of Power Rangers in full Vin has watched in like 20 years. This is amazing.
I skipped an episode.
Skipped an episode.
In this episode, Darkonda has a plan that's, like, out of a horror movie where, like, he unleashes this bug that when you get bitten by it, like, you turn into a monster and it bites Carlos.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This episode? I fucking enjoy it. Cause
yeah,
isn't
the
that,
Brillian
like,
bug.
Yeah.
And, it's cool.
This is one of the ones they put on, like, the VHS tape.
It is.
Is this when they pull the Dragon Ball Z merger thing, too?
What do you mean?
Darkonda and they become Darkolifter? Darkolifter?
I think that comes
an episode
next.
Or two later.
Yeah. I think that's the next one. That's the next episode.
Alright, so then we have TJ's identity crisis. Darkonda betrays Ecliptor to increase his own power.
Yeah, that's where they
meanwhile, TJ suffers an injury that causes him to lose his memory.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when he gets fucking
laid
out.
Yeah, it's after Darkonda and Ecliptor do the fusion dance.
Yeah.
They become Darkolifter.
Darkolifter.
And basically, like... TJ just gets straight up wrecked. Like, Darkolifter's sword, like, comes down on TJ's head.
Crushes his helmet, basically.
Literally,
yeah.
The sword is in his helmet.
Yeah, the sword's in his head, and, like, he catches amnesia. It gets resolved quickly, but it's the amnesia episode.
That's such a good one. All right.
It is a good episode.
Episode 16, flashes of Darkonda. Andros makes a startling discovery about his sister's kidnapping and the journey into the hearts of Dark Specter's Empire Search for Answers. I just want to put out that what we are reading is currently the official descriptions of the episodes by Saban.
So, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I believe this is the Cantina episode where they straight up wind up on the set of Back to the Future 3.
This is the rip Star Wars
and,
rip episode, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah. It's a ripoff of the Star Wars Cantina on the set of Back to the Future 3.
Vin says it's exactly that set.
I wouldn't surprise me considering we later get the Starship Troopers outfits next season.
What did we say that it was 20th Century Fox? I think they had the set.
Yeah, so, I mean, it makes sense.
Flashes of Darkonda, let's see, we got that. That was episode 16. We moved to... I just want to talk about it real quick, that poker game. Scotty.
I'm sorry.
That poker game of Andros playing cards. It's fucking hilarious.
With the key cards, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, he, like, bets the key cards. He bets the key cards, does, like, a Looney Tunes, like, switcheroo.
Yeah. All right, then we get the episode 17, The Rangers Mega Voyage.
Yep.
The Power Rangers use their newly obtained key cards to decode the location of the new fleet of Zords that fucking Zordon was hiding.
Yeah.
In case they needed it.
Yeah.
But made it a bitch to find.
Here we get their third Megazord.
We also made it, you know, hard for the villains to find, too.
Yeah, they didn't know what the fuck it was. So, that's that episode.
Yeah, that's really the only thing that's important.
All right. The True Blue to the rescue. Justin, yeah, the Blue Turbo Ranger, returns to help the Power Rangers.
A fun episode.
Justin's return.
It explains the turbo powers can only work for Justin and TJ.
Yeah, because, like...
Storm Blast?
Storm Blaster and... Lightning Cruiser.
Hold turbo
power. Like an extra key. Yeah.
Extra key and morpher for those particular Rangers.
As we know, the two cars were taken by Divatox's forces.
Yeah.
So we see Divatox in this episode, too, I believe.
Why did they have extra cars?
What do you mean?
Because... I'm saying that, like, in Turbo...
They only had Storm
Blaster. They were sentient cars. They came from space. Yes. Yeah. They were, like, sentient Herbies.
But this is Saban's way of cleaning up a loophole there.
Yeah.
And not leaving us, you know, hanging.
What winds up... sorry. Didn't mean
to. Plus, we get Justin.
Justin's dad.
yeah, we get a little subplot of, like, where they've been since the series starts. And what sucks is that, like, at the end of the episode... You know, Justin is like, you know, if you ever need me, like, call me, and we never see him again.
We don't get him in the final battle, which is
disappointing. Yeah, it was, and it's funny, too, because when I was a little kid, I could have sworn in my memory, I thought I remembered seeing him again in, like, the final battle, but nah, he's not there.
Episode 19, The Invasion of the Body Snatcher. Astronomer switches bodies with Ashley to infiltrate the Astro Megaship and catch the Power Rangers.
Very fun episode.
It's fun, but it annoys the living shit out of me. The thing I like about this episode is when, she goes down the tube and falls flat on her face.
Yeah. Astronema switches places, funnily enough, with the girl that's trying to bang her brother.
If they banged, that would have been accidental incest, I guess?
It would have been. Ashley does, like, a cool, like, switcheroo thing where, like, the monster that's responsible for doing it changes Ashley into Astronema. And then we get, like, a... you know, thing where, like, Andros
he gives her a gift for his birthday, also?
Yeah. He gives, in the beginning of the episode, he gives her a necklace, and that winds up being the thing that reveals that to Andros who the real Yellow Ranger was. Yeah, it was.
How he figured out which was the real
he
one.
He literally asked, what was the gift I got you for your birthday?
True, but then...
That was what did it.
No, the actual, what he did was when he goes, Ashley, let's rock it, and she did the pose, and he goes, okay, kill the other one.
Oh, you're right. That's right. He did do that, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's why it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right,
guys,
Scotty.
Episode 20.
Yeah, Daddy. Finally.
Scotty, take it from here.
Survival of the Silver.
Yes.
We are introduced to...
Like, top three.
The cockiest ranger of all time.
Oh,
I mean,
he's so OP that, like...
This dude
to be nerfed.
Is on death's bed here, sitting in frozen in carbonite in the megaship. The Rangers stumble upon him, and Andros goes into the backstory, which is very well done.
Zane is so OP to the fact that, I think it was Ecliptor even said, he's one of the most powerful Rangers in the galaxy.
Zane is the Ranger who paid to win, and... like, all the players online would complain to the developers to please nerf.
And basically, even Zordon himself literally gave Zane his own morpher and own power.
Yeah.
And told Andros, you need to go get a team.
Yeah. But what's cool is that this is the episode where we find out why Andros didn't have a team.
Yes.
It's because initially, Andros and Zane were, like, the first, like, selected Rangers for that particular planet's team. And Zane winds up taking, you know, basically biting a bullet for Andros, and he's pretty much dead. Like, Zane practically dies, and because of this, that's why Andros was a loner for all this time, was because he just didn't want to deal with losing anybody else, and Zane is, like, frozen in
ice. I had read that it takes, I think, 2 years before the event
of
Was it Zio or so? It was something like
that. Oh, I don't know where it falls timeline-wise, yeah. but Andros does say that he's been in ICE for 2 years.
He was in ICE for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I guess it would be
Zio, so then it was a Zio or... Yeah, something
like that. I guess
this,
so.
This is basically... If Zordon started the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with just Jason and Tommy and without a team. Basically,
yeah, that's pretty much what that's it is. That's what Andros
and these guys are so skilled and so powerful that they didn't even need a Ranger team until, you know, that happened to Zane. And then
you got to remember, they were military trained, too, because they went to go fight the battle.
We get more in the colony of KO-35. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we get more backstory.
These guys were, I mean, Zordon selected these guys. And we're pretty much the most powerful Rangers in the galaxy up to that point.
Yeah.
I mean, these dudes were trained to be Rangers. I mean, Zane comes out of the villains, actually, these Jawa-looking guy.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, accidentally, you know, sort of, seems like they sort of kill Zane, but, you know, unfortunately for them, it just melts the ice and Zane magically comes alive, you know, walks out of this coma and stumbles upon the battle, and the Rangers is like, Andros? And basically, you know, breaks out the Super Silverizer and
goes really to town. Cool.
I wonder if he thought that he was still in battle because he was still morphed.
Well, it seemed that way because he immediately exits the ship and is immediately like, oh, crap. I got to do something. And it's cool because, the ship's power or something, like, goes down and like everybody gets scared that like the life support system turned off but yeah, we get introduced finally to our sixth Ranger who has one of the coolest costumes.
I just love
he
this
is one of the coolest Rangers of all.
Yeah, I just love this guy instantly. From a comic book perspective, I would equate this to, you know, me instantly thinking how cool Gambit was, like literally just come in
that's
and
a
like
good way
he's
to
just
it.
So cool. Like, you have to like him.
Yeah. He's got style. Like, even his, like, normal uniform. Oh, that's another thing, too, that we kind of forgot to mention. That in this season, one of the things I think was cool about it was that when the Rangers are demorphed, like, they actually have these, like, cool uniforms that they wear on the ship.
They have these vests and kind of, like,
These, like, cool jackets and everything. And
very
like,
Star Trek-esque?
I think it's cooler than Star Trek. But I guess if you want to look at it that like, it's a uniform. Like, it's a legit uniform. And Zane's is, like, black and silver, and, like, it's really cool looking. He gets, like, his own jacket.
Well, moving on to them actually being Power Rangers to the real-life situation of literally best friends is where the next three episodes, by far, are so fucking great.
Yeah, they're cool.
So, Red with Envy is Andros battles Darkonda on his own jealousy as he worries Ashley might be attracted to Zane, which is fucking hilarious, because if you know Zane's personality, he's a flirt.
Oh, he's a ladies' man. Yeah. He's a ladies' man, and, like, throughout the episode, like, him and Ashley are spending a lot of... Like, I feel like every dude has been in this situation at some point in their lives on both sides.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, so many... I've genuinely been, like, the Zane character a lot of times, where people are thinking, like, I'm trying to steal, you know, or some... that's maybe a bit too narcissistic sounding, but...
No, anyway, Matt,
but
trust me...
But genuinely, I feel like most guys can genuinely relate to both sides. Like, both being in Andros' position and also being in Zane's. And, like, but Zane is, like, a true bro where, like, literally, like, when Andros finally confronts him, like, about, like, hey, why are you, like, macking on my girl? And Zane is literally like, dude, everybody on this ship knows you're into Ashley. I'm not making moves on her.
Like, meanwhile, he's like, oh, I didn't tell anyone.
Besides, we talk about is her asking me questions about you.
Yeah,
that too. Like, he was even a bro in the sense that he slipped him some information of, like, Ashley, like, has basically been hanging out with me to get closer to you. You know, like, she wants to know more about you, and you don't talk to her about yourself, so she's talking to me about you.
It's such a good fucking episode.
It's a cool episode, but what's a little bit of bullshit is that, like, Zane has finally come back from the dead, and immediately Andros is acting like a jealous asshole, and it's just like, really, dude? Like, your best friend is finally back, and, like, you're gonna act all jealous.
Andros really, reminds me of Jason a lot. He's a very emotional leader. Like,
yeah.
His emotions guide him in every decision that he makes.
I can't even say Tommy was an emotional leader. Tommy just made the most abrupt decisions.
Tommy was just snap decision.
He was very, like,
Andros is a lot more like Jason, where, like, You could tell, like, every decision he makes.
TJ didn't think at all.
Personally affects him.
TJ didn't fucking think at all.
TJ didn't really stand a chance, in all fairness. The poor guy, he just became a Ranger, and then you're the leader of the Power Rangers, man. That's tough.
Yeah. Another thing we learn at the end of the episode is that during one of the fight scenes, like, for some reason, Zane demorphs. And that leads into the next episode. No, well, the next episode deals with it, but it happens in the episode prior.
Yeah.
Like, and at the ending of the episode, he secretly, like, sneaks off to Alpha, like, hey, I have a problem.
We get the Green Ranger conundrum again, guys. Resuck. Basically, Zane is awesome character. He's introduced, and
bingo. Immediately, we have to limit
his powers and, like, are limited
to, like, 2.5 minutes.
But thankfully, the writers resolve that.
Yeah, it's resolved in the next episode immediately. Like, Zane basically needed a battery charge because he's been on ice for so long and everything. His morpher was just weak. But what's funny is we get a subplot here where Carlos and I don't remember if it was Carlos and TJ or Carlos and Cassie. I think it was Carlos and Cassie who, they wind up walking in and overhearing Zane talking to Alpha, and they misinterpret.
I thought it was Andrews and Ashley.
No, Andrews and Ashley.
I think it was Cassie and TJ, I think it was Cassie and TJ.
It was somebody. Somebody, like, overhears Zane talking to Alpha in secret about, like, a problem and stuff, but they misinterpret it in, like, Zane is dying. Zane's dying. Yeah, they think Zane's dying.
Yeah, because they walk in when he says, how long do I have?
Yeah, that's right.
And she's like, only a couple of days.
Yeah. Alpha literally is like, a couple of days. And they're like, a couple of weeks. And they're like, shit. And, like, everybody starts to, like, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? They start pampering. Like, yeah. They start pampering Zane because they think, you know, they're trying to make him comfortable, you know, and everything. And, like, and then and Zane kind of, like, plays around with it after
once he realizes what the hell's what they're doing.
Zane being the smug, you know,
yeah, he's extremely smug.
You know, plays up on it.
He's extremely smug and clearly not afraid of, like, death. Like, this dude has almost died, but immediately he finds, like, a joke in everything.
Is there any other character... So, just in case anybody who's listening to this can relate, is there any other character in pop culture that could relate to Zane? Say, like, Zane is kind of, like...
I mean, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but,
He kind of reminds me of Tommy when he first joined the Rangers as the Green Ranger, because he's like, Tommy was always like, this is a chance I'm willing to take. He's always willing to take a chance. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Tommy always had that, aw, shucks. Like, I might not be able to morph anymore, guys.
Like, when he had that problem, that was literally, like, the end of the world. Zane could cope with not having to morph, I guess, but...
Well, Zane kind of just figured it out without Zordon and, you know, went to Alpha.
And they figured it out. Like, Dimitri would have fucking helped.
Yeah, and then, basically, what solves the problem is, Zane has to do a Thomas Edison, and he has to allow himself to get struck by lightning.
It's Morpher, anyway.
Yeah, it is Morpher. But how he doesn't get electrocuted is anybody's guess.
Well, he's Zane, man.
He's Zane. He's too badass for lightning.
He's the first Ranger that has the space cycle. I mean, this dude just comes out.
Dude, his Morpher is a legit cell phone.
Yeah, it's legit a cell phone. It's the first... is it the first? I think it's the first of what's going to be a long line of Morphers designed like phones. Yeah. Yeah, like, from here on out, like, we're going to get a lot of seasons where the morphers, or at least somebody's morpher, is going to be like a cell phone.
Moving on to one of the other big subplots of the series. Well, insider joke subplots between me, Matt, and Joe.
Yeah.
A Date with Danger. Joe, Maddie.
This is probably one of the greatest Power Ranger... you talk about love interest within the series. You got, you know, whether it's fucking Kimberly and Tommy... Jason and that fucking whore on the bike.
Adam and Tanya.
Fucking Cassie and Billy. It's...
Yeah.
It tops at all of it.
Zane is literally like, alright, Andros, if
Zane
I can't
is
have
literally...
Those...
He's gung-ho for pussy. It's the only way I can put it.
Zane is just like, if I can't have your... Like, if I can't have Ashley, I'll take your sister. I'll be fine with
but
that.
But he doesn't know it's
no,
his sister.
At time, no, at the time, no. At the time,
he doesn't know
what's
his... sister
but straight up Astronema has the hots for Zane. He straight up has somehow has a photograph of him.
It's a profile shot.
Yeah, like literally like
took it in school. Like that was your school photo.
Zane's Tinder profile picture. And unfortunately we find the long history of Zane also getting cucked as he does at the
end of the episode. Bro, it's bullshit. This is why fucking girls are fucking assholes in this show.
Yeah, girls are
Kimberly, like, and women in general in this show are assholes. Except for Tanya.
Yeah.
Honestly, Kimberly, Dear John, fucking Astronema, didn't believe Zane that he was late.
Cat wasn't fucking an asshole.
Cat was fucking psycho. Cat fucking literally had pictures that she would cut out of Tommy and him and her.
But,
she's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Low key, as Ranger aside, that was her personality.
Yeah.
Was stalker.
It comes about, like, the whole situation comes about because, like, Astronema accidentally, like, hits one of her monsters and this monster fights back. And Zane saves her from him, and, like Astronema, like, basically is, like, confused, like, why would you do that? And it's straight up, like, you know I'm trying to kill you, right? And Zane's just like, so? and then, like,
he's literally
Astronema
like,
gets,
that
like,
ass
wet.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Astronema gets wet, and...
Not as wet as fucking Kendrick's does for Leo.
Well, we'll
Leo.
Get to that, yeah. But that does...
Oh, that is by far... That might almost top it.
But
it won't.
But
Zane
yeah.
and Astronema are both kind of sweet on each other, though. You know what I mean? It's not like a one-way thing.
Yeah, right. It wasn't like
one
side.
The whole episode is one giant.
Astronema is
like,
just like a high school, a 16-year-old high school
yeah.
chick who
it was like,
in love for
it's
the first
her first
time.
Love.
Yeah.
That's really what
like,
it is.
Really.
That is. Zane is literally her first love. And the whole episode is a music video.
It is. It's straight up like... Yeah, straight up is.
And the funny thing is that Ecliptor sent the monster there. Which,
to basically
you know,
cock-block.
Kind of,
yeah.
you know, screw Zane over.
Basically cock-block.
And Zane, the funny thing with Zane is that he's this uber-powerful Power Ranger, the most powerful Ranger on the team, and the Rangers are trying to, you know, deal with this monster, and he's kind of like, well, guys, do you really need me? Like,
literally,
he's like
yeah,
trying to, like, skate
so
out of being a Ranger.
By the end of the episode, when the monster grows big, Zane literally goes, like, all right, you guys can handle it from here, later. Like, he straight up dips.
Got two swords, I'm good.
He straight up dips. He's just like, all right, but, like, I'm sorry, I'm about to get laid, guys. Like, you don't understand. Like, she's real hottie. And unfortunately, because he decided to help. Unfortunately, because he decided to choose bros before hoes, it backfires.
Bro, anytime I see a picture nowadays of Zane and Carone literally, like, at Comic-Con, like, the two of them hanging out, like, in real life, just reminds me of how much I wanted, like, Uncle Jesse and Jesse and Rebecca to be married in Full House in real life. It's, like, the same feeling. It's, like, they were so good on screen, I'm shocked they weren't a couple in real life.
Yeah.
I really wish Zane would have appeared more in Lost Galaxy to kind of touch up on that, because I think
yeah,
they did
does.
Get together at the end, but
it's definitely implied.
It's implied, yeah.
But
you know,
we'll just say it's the last episode. There is a scene where Andros comes back on the ship. He hugs fucking Ashley. Ashley's excited. Zane walks in like
looking like they just got it.
Like listening to Aloe Black's "I'm the Man" song.
Yeah,
you know, coming in fucking. You know, puts his hand, literally sits down, puts his hands behind his head, puts his feet up on the dashboard, and is low-key thinking to himself, like, I just fucked
yeah,
my dude. I just fucked
like, he's just like, I'm the man.
Yeah.
Like,
he is the most conceited Ranger, but my God has a heart of gold.
Yeah. Ironic.
He's just so damn good at his job. It doesn't matter. Like, he backs it up.
He
knows
he's
good-looking,
too.
Yeah.
That's what...
Which leaves us into...
Whoever
a really
I
stupid
like,
episode, which
yeah,
I can't stand.
He might be one of the coolest characters I've ever seen on a TV show.
I want to meet Zane at Power Morphicon at some point. Like, he's one of my favorite Rangers. Like,
oh yeah, he was one of mine as a kid. He
bro, he's so cool. Like, I'd ask him to sign something stupid.
There's a variant cover,
yeah,
for the Power Rangers comic book series where they did this thing where like they show. Whoever the first Ranger was of a color is, like, in the forefront. And then in the background, you see, like, every Ranger of that same color throughout the franchise's history. And there's one of Zane, because he was the first Silver Ranger. It's really cool. It's a cool artwork variant cover.
He's
I don't know if it was released.
Silver Ranger, like,
I don't know if it was released
me?
Yet. But it has him, like, in the forefront with all the other Silver Rangers that there's been, like, in the background. And it's really cool. Like, I would love to get that signed.
So Zane's destiny... is basically a way of the
now
writer.
We get back into the legit story itself.
For the most part, yeah.
The writers decide...
Episode 24.
The Rangers are too powerful now, so what we're going to do is create another...
Arbitrary reason.
Storyline. Offshoot storyline. Well, the storyline is all right because we're introduced... they do find a lost colony of KO-35, so they come up with Kinwan and all the, you know... lost survivors of Zane and
Where were they? Where were they?
They were hiding on this planet.
I don't remember the name of the planet, but yeah, they were hiding out like in the caves of this one planet. And what's interesting is, like, Zane and Andros are doing their own thing, and then the rest of the Rangers get captured because one of the people who's, like, in charge of, I guess, the security forces or whatever is secretly working with Astronema and tries to frame the Rangers, but then Zane and Andros, like, find them.
Do their thing, and then suddenly they
recognize everybody, and as it turns out, like, these are the escapees. Because we find out early on that KO-35 has been abandoned for a while. And that's where the citizens and the survivors, like, they're like refugees. This is where they've been hiding and everything. And it's cool. And by the end of the episode, you know, the traitor is defeated. Or the traitor, I think, turns out to be Darkonda.
I believe the traitor turns out to be Darkonda in disguise.
That's right. And by the end of the episode, we get that arbitrary reason of why the Sixth Ranger has to disappear for a little bit. Not very long, but for a couple episodes. He decides to help the refugees, like, resupply, and it protects them, basically.
Bro, we're only on episode 24, and, like, we've talked so much. So much has already happened.
Because there's so much story. Yeah. Like, there's no more of those, like, silly subplots of, like, hey, look, guys, I got a trophy, and then they decide to turn the trophy into a monster.
Well last season was such a disaster. Yeah. I mean, on screen and off screen, I mean, this is just a breath of fresh air.
Like, this actually has a story, you know? And it's like the first one.
All right. Okay, I just want to stop. And Vinny, I want you to review this episode real quick because this is your favorite.
It's a Carlos episode.
Always a chance. One. After accidentally hurting Cassie in battle, Carlos finds himself, finds his self-confidence shaken, prompting an old Mighty Morphin friend to lend a hand.
Stone Canyon's finest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
We'll do the Sylvie episode.
This is the Adam episode. Spoiler alert.
So Adam comes back. First of all, Vinny is a huge fan of Carlos.
I think that this episode really just showed how bad of a Ranger he really is.
Yeah, like after he accidentally.
So much ass without a fucking suit. Like,
yeah.
I said Adam kicks all the ass. Like
before even morphing. Yeah.
Adam has been training the whole time that he's gave up being a Ranger, and this dude, like, the want to be a Ranger is so strong. He has his old morpher, and he's trying to help Carlos out. And, you know, Alpha sees him with the morpher and kind of says, you know, your connection to the morphing grid, you know, isn't strong, you know, with the Mastodon powers anymore. If you do that, it might kill you. But Carlos gets into a bind again, and Adam has to morph, and Adam's just like, you know what, Joe? Zane thinks he's a badass. F this. Morphin' time.
It's
and
really
morphs.
Cool.
This dude succeeds in morphing, puts his life on the line, bails out Carlos, and the powers are starting to fade, and he's still just... I mean, Adam's one of my favorite Rangers, dude. He's just whooping ass, man.
Bro, I'm literally Stone Canyon's finest.
At least for in
Thanks
Adam's
for the shirt,
case.
By the way, Joe. Joe got me a Christmas present, Stone Canyon, Adam Park.
Oh, yeah.
Says Stone Canyon's finest, right. I believe, or the athletic department.
It's one of his workout shirts. It's just fucking hilarious.
Let me tell you, man. I mean, this dude, I mean, I can't say enough about Adam. He's one of my favorite Rangers, dude. He's in my top five.
He's great.
His dedication to being a Power Ranger, you know, is just seen throughout this whole episode.
He had one of the best one-liners.
Like as cool as Zach was, I think Adam was the best Black Ranger, I think. As good as Zach
was. He
was
definitely the best Turbo Ranger throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Adam, the best Black Ranger of all time?
Yeah.
Even better than Tommy as Dino?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot about
Tommy. He's better than Tommy.
I think so.
He's better than Tommy's Brachiosaurus powers.
He's better than fucking Carlos. Like
I mean, I will definitely say Tommy's Brachio outfit looks better, but...
there's probably a list out there. We haven't checked.
But yeah, so it's, you know, before we had a Justin episode, now we have an Adam episode.
We get these great guest shots and ties to the whole Zordon era this throughout the season, and it's great. Because the storylines are, it's not just like, oh, I'm just showing up. Well, they show up, but there's a reason behind them showing up. Like, the writing, like Maddie said, is just so much more in line and focused.
You gotta remember, Adam was in 5 seasons in total. And Zach was in 1. And the debate that I would have is that...
I mean, Zach wasn't given much of a chance.
Zach was at 1.5.
To shine. But, I mean, Zach, listen, I'm not saying I think Zach is bad. But
no, but that's a debate. Think, who is better as the black Mighty Morphin Ranger?
I mean, Adam just had more to do. Maybe that doesn't necessarily make him better. But I guess I'm also taking into consideration that he progressed. Like, he had character growth in Zio and then in Turbo, so.
That's something for another podcast we should instead of going too in-depth on it. You know, let's move on to The Secret of the Locket.
Yeah. Episode 26.
And here we get confirmation of the... You'll never guess who his sister's been this entire time.
Tommy Starkonda.
That's right. It's Ecliptor, guys. Ecliptor is Andros. But literally, to the surprise of not even my, at the time, 6-year-old self... Astronema, the person who's been trying to kill them the entire time, is Andros' sister. And this is when they both, like, finally realize it, because Astronema's locket, she has the same locket that Andros has.
But even as a kid, man, I don't remember being that excited. I just remember it being more or less like, she's the only other girl in the show. So, who else is it going
to
be?
I thought it was a pretty good reveal, the way they built up to it, though. So, I mean...
But that's what I'm saying. It wasn't that...
The suspense was more or less, when were the characters going to realize it? It really is what it came down to. It's one of those, I think it's called dramatic irony in literary terms, where it's like the reader or the audience knows something that the characters don't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it's called. And that's basically what's been going on here throughout the entire show, is that, like, we know what Andros and Astronema should know and should realize by now. But, I mean, and you can make the argument they were just kids, you know, it's been a long time, so, and the Astronema's hair changes every couple episodes, but, the episode ends with them, like, coming face to face with the realization that they are who they've been sort of looking for, because Astronema was told that her family was killed by the Power Rangers. That's part of where her hatred stems from, and then finds out that, no, like, the Ranger is her brother. And it leads directly into the next one.
Did Andros mention that he doesn't know if his parents are alive or his mom is alive?
We actually never find out about the parents, I don't think.
They're never even mentioned.
Yeah,
they are. She goes, what about mom and dad? And he says, what do they look like? And I can't tell if he said if they're alive or not. I don't remember. When they're sitting down, where, like, in that one scene, I guess it's in the same room where Zane's kept.
Yeah.
They're sitting down and she's tied up.
It must have been one of those, like, blink or miss it kind of, like, lines of dialogue that it was probably said just, like, once and then forgotten about.
Episode 27, Astronema thinks twice. This is when Astronema questions her own motives as she travels to KO-35 to battle the Power Rangers. In the next two episodes, this is when I think TJ absolutely shines.
Yeah.
When he shuts her the fuck down. And literally, I think this might be the best acting I've seen of TJ yet.
Yeah, TJ's acting gets a lot better. I mean, everybody's acting in general gets better. That's not saying much. I mean, it's still cringy at times. But for a Power Rangers show, it was the better acting that we've gotten from any series so far.
The team really comes into their own, you know, not being just Turbo replacements again. So, like, you know, TJ's a different color Ranger this season, but at the same point in time, so is Carlos.
Yeah.
But they kind of, you know, they're getting the experience now, and they're, you know, having Andros instead of, you know, Justin to lean on is, you know, kind of helps them out a lot.
Yeah, it's the Zio, like, situation again.
Yes.
Of, like, the replacements now actually have more of a role rather than just being, like, the understudies. Like, now it's, like, this is their, like, position, you know?
Moving on. Okay, so that was Astronema Thinks Twice, episode 27. Then we have episode 28, The Rangers Leap of Faith. The Power Rangers question whether they can trust Astronema. When she offers to help them find Zordon. And what bothers me is that I don't know if she actually helped them in the situation or got...
Well, she... in the next episode...
Did she actually know that Zordon was on her ship the entire time?
I don't know.
That's spoiler, but I have to ask that question because that's what this revolves around.
Diva Tox appears earlier in the season with Zordon, and they take in the Phantom Ranger episode, and they take him away.
Is this where Darklyptor shows up, like, disguised as Zordon or some shit?
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like he's in the tube.
Yeah.
Darkana,
or was it Dark? Yeah, it was. Darkana, it might have been Dark Spectre, even.
I don't remember.
one of them shows up in the fucking tube. It's Zordon. He's like, Andros, help me. And then it's like, it pans off and...
Right.
He starts talking shit.
Yeah.
But, and now...
Dark Dark Spectre. I think...
Dark Spectre's Revenge Part
1. Maybe, I don't know.
This is like the mid-season finale of the show. It's like a two-parter episode. Basically, like, Astronema sort of becomes Corona again, like, completely. They even make a cool, like, outfit for her to match everybody else's
thing. She's the Purple Space Ranger.
Essentially. Unfortunately, she never gets that, but she will next season. But,
it's one of the highlights
but,
of
the most awesome. Oh, absolutely. Here, what winds up happening is a meteorite gets sent hurtling towards Earth, and it's, like, really indestructible for some reason. And basically, the asteroid somehow has been programmed by Dark Spectre, and one of the ways to redirect it, or whatever, is to, from Astronema's ship. Like, Astronema's ship has, like, the technology or whatever to sort of, like, interfere with it and just send it, like, in a completely different direction. So Astronema volunteers, because she knows her own ship, to sneak back onto the ship disguised as Astronema. And it sucks, because just when Andros gets his sister back, immediately... one thing we forgot.
He loses her again.
We forgot one thing. Was that Ecliptor gets, like, captured by Darkonda and gets, like, brainwashed and, like, upgraded into, like, a cyborg Ecliptor. And then that Ecliptor, when Astronema, or Corona now,
cyborg
goes onto
Astronema.
The ship, like, captures Astronema. And then in the next episode, spoiler alert, but we find out that, like, she's been completely brainwashed. She has, like, you know, computer stuff, like Borg stuff on her face.
Did you say Borg?
Borg, I said Borg. but,
it is Borg stuff.
Cybernetics pieces, like, on her head that's, like, clearly, like, repressing, like, her memories. And so she's brainwashed, that is the long story short.
Oh, all right, so that's basically, was that part one and two, Matt, you said?
Well, I kind of went very quickly into part two, but another big aspect of part two was that Zane comes back when the Rangers are using their Zords to try and push the asteroid out of the way of Earth. Zane comes back in his own Zord. He gets his own Zord behind the scenes, the Mega Winger.
The
refugee
guys.
The
refugees build it for him?
Yeah, they build it for him. And now Zane's back, you know, like, he was only gone, like, four episodes. But now he, like, regularly comes back. And he has his own Zord now and everything. And, you know, long story short, they save the day, but at the cost of Corona becoming Astronema again because she gets brainwashed.
So they tease us with a, you know, end plot there and just kind of put it off.
Yeah. That's why I was saying this is kind of like a mid-season finale, because I actually think it was. Like, I think this was where they, like, split the show into two halves throughout the year.
It probably makes sense, because there was 13 episodes left of the season, and now we're getting into probably the...
the end game.
The greatest... There have been a lot of bullshit Rangers, like... Teams-wise, when it comes to being evil.
This is...
They are outstandingly badass.
Yeah.
They are so cool. The voice actors and the guys in the... that play the... Put it this way. The guys that... in the Psycho Rangers, when they do the reveal, when they're going and hunting Cassie, those actors are actually not only the voice actors, but the ones inside the suits.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so those 30. Are the actual Rangers. It's really sweet.
These guys are a force. I mean, they're...
Rangers gone psycho. Astronema assembles a team of evil Psycho Rangers to solidify her power.
Yeah, for anybody who's a fan of, like, other superheroes, think of these guys as, like, the reverse Flash of, like, Power Rangers.
They're like the Legion of Doom, man.
Well, they're the superhero, but evil. Like, Venom, Bizarro, reverse Flash. You know, a lot of superheroes have a villain that's, like, them, but evil. Like, that's what these guys are. And their outfits are fantastic.
But what did we learn about them in the Sentai? What are they called?
An Neji Ranger? I don't know how you pronounce it, but it from the spelling, at least if you were to pronounce it phonetically... It's a Neji Ranger?
And that's why they have the N on their belt?
Yeah. One detail you'll notice is for some reason they have an N on their belt, and that's from the Sentai. But here they're called the Psycho Rangers, which definitely sounds cooler. And they definitely adhere to their name of being psycho. Like, they fight just as much with each other as they do their... And what's funny...
They're selfish as shit.
In a way, that's kind of how, ultimately, the Rangers win, is they kind of win because the Psycho Rangers are just egotistical assholes and they fight more with themselves.
They're so egotistical, and so is Zane, that he created his own.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. That's I think, a couple of episodes.
When Zane shows up, he kind of turns the tide for the Rangers. And then, after Astronom is reprogrammed and the Psycho Rangers come, things start going real bad for the Rangers. Like, increasingly bad.
Yeah. And it's just cool. Like the, throughout the remainder of the series, the Psycho Rangers are a presence on the show.
Another
Hold on. No, this is Vinny's review.
Episode here. Yeah.
Vinny, you're reviewing this whole episode. Carlos on call.
There's nothing to review. It's great.
Quadro Blaster.
Episode of Carlos, a super duper like thick accent. And he yells at a 10-year-old girl who just wants him to be like her big brother figure in her life, because he finds out halfway through the episode her brother died and he's a fucking asshole. And he was like, I am not your babysitter. I am a Power Ranger.
Yeah. This episode goes back to what I was saying earlier about one of the weirdest plots of the show, is that they still make an effort to keep their identity secret. But what happens is Carlos idiotically decides to morph in a phone booth, and this little girl named Sylvie, who Carlos knows. I said phone booth? Mm-hmm. Photo booth, yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean that was a slip of the tongue.
And it somehow just takes a picture
on. No, the phone booth is what Cassie was in when she was
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a photo booth. And like, apparently somebody left a quarter or something in the machine, because it takes photos of Carlos as he's morphing, and the little girl comes across it, and it's one of those, like, blackmail episodes, but she's not as, like, dickish with it as possible. Like, all Sylvie really wanted was, like, a friend, like, we find out later on, because, like, her older brother, like, died. And
well, she wanted a moon rock because they both wanted.
Yeah, they aspired to be astronauts. And but one of the
weird touching episode.
One of the weird things about this continued tradition of keeping their identity secret is that they make it such a big deal that Sylvie knows their identity, and there's no consequence to it. Like, he doesn't lose his powers. He does, like, literally at
He's
a point.
He's gonna take him away, so we're not missing.
Like, literally at a point, Carlos gets so fed up that he literally just straight up goes, "You know what? Tell everybody. I don't even care." And it literally is just like, there's literally no consequences if Sylvie would have decided to do that, because Sylvie knowing that the Carlos is a Ranger, like, it doesn't have any effect. Like, they just know who he is. And it doesn't matter because the villains know their names too, so it's dumb. But like Vin said, it's ultimately a touching episode.
It's a filler episode. It's totally a filler episode. What? After
just
the
like it was touching.
Oh, whoops! Well, I'm doing good now.
I think as a whole, it's kind of stupid. I don't.
Well, it's a silly episode.
Vinny,
but
what's your favorite thing that Carlos says?
When he yells at her, I just said that.
No, what does he else say?
He says, "I am a Power Ranger. I'm not your babysitter."
And what does he say when he calls his weapon?
Quadro Blaster.
Why are you not saying it with a funny accent?
Tired.
But,
that's all Vinny would do, was make fun of this guy.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, he's got... But,
I don't make fun of him for the accent. I make fun of him for his accent getting thicker and thicker and then disappearing, then getting thicker and thicker.
Yeah.
And then Andro sometimes even says something with a Hispanic accent.
It's that Razor Ramon syndrome, you know, where Scott Hall's the only one that can actually, you know, keep the... The accent, Spanish accent going anyway.
Yo, Razor Ramon. I don't know how he pronounces Ramon, but he pronounces it with a ugh.
Razor Ramon.
Ramon.
Did you see the big man and the medium sized man are gonna carve you up?
Next episode, we have the cat fight episode 33.
It was just Carlos being Carlos, pretty much.
Yeah, it's another run of the mill, like, Carlos is the Ranger who has silly hijinks episodes. But now we got Rift in the Rangers, where we have the cat fight episode, where Cassie and Ashley, you know, get into a little kerfuffle. But
this is so fucking stupid.
The Psycho Rangers wind up capturing Ashley, and then Cassie feels like a jerk for being mean to her, because, oh no, blah, blah, blah. And but what's funny is that conflict mirrors itself with the Psycho Rangers, because Psycho Yellow and Pink fight with each other, too. And basically the significance of this episode is that Psycho Pink gets killed. So they finally take out one of the Psycho Rangers finally. And also Daddy TJ lays down the law in this episode to both Ashley and Cassie. It's really funny.
Yeah.
About like literally just being like, you guys are acting like little kids. It's actually pretty funny seeing
speaking
like,
of TJ.
My favorite Psycho episode.
Is it?
No, this one. Five of a Kind.
Oh, Five of a Kind, yeah.
TJ devises a clever strategy to defeat the Psycho Rangers in battle because I watched this on VHS on loop.
It's an episode that I remember being rerun a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the great episodes because it's like an episode where TJ like really shines as like a strategist. Like he's the one who like his first plan is that he's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, we've been fighting the Psycho equivalent of ourselves. Like, Blue has been fighting Blue, Black has been fighting Black. And obviously they've been able to mirror each other, so they've been getting nowhere. But, like, TJ comes up with the plan, like, wait a minute, what if we just switch? You know, like, what if we just switch Psychos? And it kind of works for a little bit, initially. Like, they gain the upper hand, but then, like, the Psychos, they still manage to kind of one-up the Rangers. And, like, what's cool is that even though TJ's plan failed, he very quickly, like, rebounds and comes up with a second plan, which is to basically paint, or I don't know how they do it, but basically they all become Blue Rangers, and it confuses the hell out of the Psycho Rangers, and ultimately, like, winds up working with some help from the Silver Psycho Ranger, who turns out to be Zane in disguise. How Zane gets his own Psycho outfit, we never find out. But
he's Zane, man.
He's Zane. That's all he wants. He paid to win.
So basically, the other thing that I find hysterical about this is that in Silence is Golden, and I said to myself, you would think during watching Five of a Kind that they would recognize their voices to know which of the Rangers, and sure enough, that's what the next episode is about.
Yeah.
So able to recognize the Power Rangers' voices, the Psycho Rangers assume human disguises to try and find them when they least expect it. Very good episode. It has much to deal with Cassie is out shopping. The Rangers basically tell her to shut the fuck up. Don't make a sound. Don't use communicators. Basically, don't say a thing. The Psycho Rangers are tracking her in Angel Grove, I believe.
What was
it? Like the shopping district in Angel Grove or the mall.
Yeah, it's like a mall. Yeah.
So that's basically the whole premise. Is Well, Psycho Blue was destroyed in the last episode.
Yeah, Psycho Blue, we're left with only
three of them. And then we move on to the enemy within. While searching for their Mega Voyager, Power Rangers prepare for a final showdown with the Psycho Rangers, episode 36.
A really cool episode, actually, because like, the Psycho Rangers break off. Like, they rebel from Astronema, and they're just like... And in a way, Psycho Red is right. Like, Astronema's plan in the background has been to play both sides, where like... She also plans on betraying Dark Spectre because apparently the Psycho Rangers drain Dark Spectre's power secretly. So
she can take over.
So Astronema basically intervenes every time the Psycho Rangers have a chance to kill the Rangers because the more and more they fight, the weaker and weaker Dark Spectre gets. And the Psycho Rangers get sick of this. Mm. And in a way, Psycho Red is right. They were like, there were several times where they probably could have won. Like, the Psycho Rangers could have actually won. But, you know, they didn't due to interference from, like, Astronema and whoever else, Zane. And so they go off on their own and they lure... Oh, because at the last episode, they also capture the Mega Voyager. They capture one of the Zords, and they use the Zord to lure the Rangers to, like, a secluded planet or something like that. They lay a trap. And it's a good fight, you know, where, like, the Rangers, like, genuinely are, like, struggling to beat just three Psychos. But at the end of the day, the Rangers do win, but it's not the last that we see of the Psycho Rangers. Like, they do come back.
Now, I'm gonna state this right here. I went back and watched this, because everybody skipped this episode.
Yeah, it's a dumb episode.
Andros and the Stowaway. On a remote planet, Andros befriends a rapidly growing baby alien on the run from his cruel monster, mm-hmm. or master. It's, I will say it, it's fucking stupid.
Is this the typical, you know, Saban treats the alien, you know, like Matt was saying, you know,
yeah, like
time and again,
like alien, yes.
Treats the alien as like this totally weird type of being.
Andros finds an alien, he raises
the Rangers,
alien.
You know.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's that episode.
Okay. No, moving on.
Every Rangers series has that episode. Yeah.
Mission to Secret City. Andros and Carlos were trapped inside Astronomer's Secret City, forcing Andros to discover untapped powers into his Astro Morpher to save the day. This is when he discovers his Battleizer armor.
This is where he finally gets his, like, He-Man upgrade.
And, literally He-Man upgrade.
Yeah, it's like, literally he gets, like, fake muscles.
Actually, I think it's Sylvie that fucking...
Yeah, Sylvie actually does, like, periodically remain, like, a presence on the show. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because she mentions to Andros, because Andros, like, the Morpher gets knocked out of his hand and she finds it. And she mentions that, like, you know, like, what does number three do? And Carlos even, like, agrees with her of, like, yeah, you've never used it. And Andros is like, yeah, I've never used it. You know, it might be too much power. Like, it might kill me, you know, if I use it. And what's funny is at a point when they're really, really in trouble, Andros still hesitates to morph, but Sylvie, like, literally presses the button for him, ultimately saving everybody. And
that's where Sylvie redeemed herself.
Yeah.
From being an annoying little girl to a...
And that's really what this episode was we just get introduced to a new feature.
But that's a good conversation, though. He's literally like, Andros, you've never actually used the thing. And he's like, I'm scared. Straight out, I'm scared to.
Yeah,
exactly. Which is like, I like that reason. It's just a good reason for it. And the Battleizer armor looks like fucking Turbo Man.
Yeah, it does. It literally does.
Ghost in the Machine, episode 39. We are almost done.
Yeah,
we are. The Rangers race to stop Astronema from using her new device that turns people into data cards. I can't tell if this is Sentai or original footage. The majority of the episode.
This is a good edited episode. Mixing, like, the two, whatever the plot. Because we only watched, like, three episodes of Mega Ranger so far. But like, in the beginning of the episode, we find out the Psycho Rangers are still a lot, like, they're spirits now. Mm-hmm. They're ghosts, and they're trying to find a way to come back. And Astronema's plan right now is to turn people, and subsequently the Rangers, into, like, these cards. The Rangers actually do wind up getting turned into, like, these data cards, and it's the Psycho Rangers who actually, they use the same device to, like, bring themselves back into, like, physical bodies.
Oh, God, this reeks of Superpowers team when the Joker and Darkseid come up with this plot to take the Superpowers team and put them all as cards.
Yeah,
literally, like, copy, ripping off of that.
There's a lot of, like, things that have done similar plots. But the Psycho Rangers, funnily enough, wind up saving the Rangers by, reversing the process that made them into cards. And then there's this big, like, three-way fight, you know, between, like, the Psycho Rangers, all their numbers are back now, and then the, Astronema and them. And what's cool is that this episode, like, the end, how they beat the Psycho Rangers allows what happens in next season to happen. The Psycho Rangers don't get destroyed again. They get converted into these data cards and basically just get, you know, like, tossed away, hopefully for nobody to find. But they do play a role again later on in the next series. But, yeah, that's basically what this episode is.
Is Astronema from this point brainwashed, always wear the red wig?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, after she doesn't change her looks anymore.
She remains looking like the main character from Dino Crisis. There's a reference for you 90 kids out there. But she literally looks just like the chick you play as in that game.
That was Ghost in the Machine. Moving on to episode 40. The Impenetrable Web. Astronomer lures the Rangers into a trap on a distant planet. This is where we get Red Ecliptor.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, what's up with Red Ecliptor?
Yeah, he gets like a power upgrade. And she straight up, like, really bodies, like, the Rangers. Like, one of the Zords, like, gets destroyed.
Zane versus Ecliptor reminds me of, like, Jason versus Goldar in the Dark Dimension a lot.
Yeah, it's a very similar, like, fight and a really cool one.
I don't really have much more to say about that episode.
I don't remember much. It was just, like, a big fight.
There's not much to say.
Yeah, it was just a big fight that it weakens the Rangers a little bit because they lose a Zord. And it's building up to, like, the finale, you know, basically. It's a stepping stone.
Yeah, so the Astro Megaship is fucking destroyed.
It's the Voyager.
So they just have the Delta Megazord?
No, it's not the Voyager.
It was either the Voyager or the Delta.
It's the Delta Megazord.
The Delta Megazord's destroyed.
Yeah. That went to fucking shits. Because in, like, Countdown to Destruction 1 and 2, fucking Zane goes... He's like, Zane, you made it. He's like, yeah, but the Voyager didn't. So there's like just a one liner.
Yeah.
Mega Winger.
Yeah. There's so many, four Zords, bro.
This is when like this is the first season where like the Rangers start to get like a lot of Zords like throughout the show to sell more toys.
Okay. If you've ever wanted to watch Power Rangers and Mad Max, watch this episode. Otherwise, me and Matt actually generally thought, what did we said about this episode?
What about
that? It had no Sentai footage.
I don't think it did. If it did, it was the Zord fight. Yeah. Like, that was it. That was the only Sentai footage they did. This was just like, which isn't even a tank, it's a Hummer.
Yeah, the vehicle monster Tankenstein stalks the Power Rangers in a vast desert. Makes no fucking sense,
but,
I'm really honest.
Who was driving this, Hummer? Stinger Hogan.
this is literally an episode that very clearly...
Fucking Scott Hall at this point, the way it was going.
this episode very clearly was an episode where, like, they had an extra, like, slot for an episode that they really didn't have anything to do. Because they wanted to get to the finale. They knew the next, like, two episodes were going to be a finale. So they were just like, let's just create, like, a filler episode or whatever. And that's basically what this is. This is like a calm before the storm. They lose another Zord. I think this is where they lose, you know, the Gatling gun.
Lose the Gatling gun. Yeah.
Now, we did a Countdown to Destruction Part 1 and 2 live reaction.
That's right, we did.
So, I'm going to just save from there.
We're going to go into just full season, you know.
Like our overall thoughts.
Yeah, so those are literally the other two. That podcast is one separate podcast.
Yeah.
Basically, the premise is, so if you didn't listen to the other one, Dark Lictor combines, armies launch a final all-out assault on the entire universe. Dark Spectre fucking dies. Darkonda dies. Ecliptor dies.
Everybody.
Everyone fucking dies, except for Zed, Rita,
and Divatox.
They go back to, like, they go to human forms.
Yeah, they become
They tease an astronomer death.
The big reveal is that Andros finds Zordon on the astronomer ship. And Zordon literally says, Andros, in order to free everyone and take the good from my energy tube and fucking destroy it, Andros hesitates like a bitch and then literally just fucking slices it open and everything goes back to normal. Meanwhile, Zane just basically shows all of Angel Grove who the Rangers are.
Yeah, which concludes my point of how at this point they reveal themselves to literally the public and... nothing happens. They wind up morphing.
Bulk is the only one that gives a shit.
We get the awesome step up from Bulk and Skull here that we've been waiting for seasons for.
Yeah, this is like the culmination of all these years.
Where like the Rangers are fighting Quantrons and Bulk and Skull are like, hey, let's help them out, you know? Like,
yeah, but Bulk and Skull literally like incite a rebellion, you know, against like themselves, like to help out the Rangers, you know, against the army.
I mean, also Trey of Triforia, Blue Centurion, and Phantom Ranger are all in the episode, and the Alien Rangers.
Don't forget Robert Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I said, Blue Centurion. Oh,
but like, yeah, again, like we said, we do like a full.
It's the greatest
show review
two-part of that episode in all Power Rangers.
It was originally intended to be the end of the show. Like, that, it was originally meant to be...
There
like,
was supposed to be no season after.
And we get the tease of Zane leading the Rangers, too, while Rangers is, you know, on Astronomers.
But meanwhile, the end of the show ends with all of them...
going back to Earth.
Going back to Angel Grove to hang out and live their lives, and...
happily ever after.
The greatest shot is at the end when Zane looks like he just busted a nut.
Zane and Kurone literally
come back
looking like they just got finished in like the restroom or something.
Does Kurone come into the ship with them, right?
Yeah.
She's behind Zane.
Her and Zane come together.
Zane's literally just like...
yeah. They look like they just like finished like having a good time.
And they basically lead us into...
right into Lost Galaxy.
The Mega Voyager is a museum.
Or on Earth. Stop it at that?
Yeah, I mean, overall, this is kind of like the pinnacle of the franchise. At least, you know, definitely the Zordon era. Like, a lot of people, argue that this is better than Mighty Morphin. Like, a lot of people say this is the best season ever.
I think it very well is.
Definitely the best written. Definitely the best payoff.
Is it as iconic as the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? It's like everything I wanted in Power Rangers, they gave to me.
Yeah. Yeah, everything. Like, this is the show that anybody who you were friends with who was a fan of Mighty Morphin but stopped watching Power Rangers afterwards, this is that series that you would use to sort of, like, get your friends to keep watching. Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, you know, the budget for this was higher. The whole quality of the show was just higher, especially for a 90s kid show.
My buddy
show.
Ken literally called me last night and goes, I heard, just from word of mouth, he goes, heard you finished In Space. He goes, still your favorite season? And I was like...
It still holds up really well. It still holds up, and even though it's not as iconic as Mighty Morphin, it is a shame, because I think the costumes really hold up well. Like, even to this day, they're, like, one of, like, the best-look design costumes.
Mighty Morphins?
No, Space.
Oh, Space?
No, I'm saying Space's costumes hold up really, really well, and I definitely feel like they deserve to be just as, like, recognizable as, like, the Mighty Morphin suits, as far as just, like, you know, representing the franchise as a whole.
I think they might be the best suits of all time.
I definitely agree. Like, overall, I think they're the best. Like, I love the helmets on Mighty Morphin.
Yeah.
But I would just say the overall package, you know, of the suits, like, both, like, the regular suit and the helmet combined, just, it was great. Like, this was definitely, like, the Toei.
Like I said, Mighty Morphin is the most iconic suit of all time. This is the best aesthetically... pleasing suit.
Yeah. Toei, the people who make Sentai in Japan, like, they really outdid themselves with the designs of both, like, the Ranger outfits and the Zords. And the monster designs, too, are really cool.
Any memorable monsters from this season, besides the Bee guy?
Darkonda.
I meant, like, side monsters, like, monster of the week kind of thing.
Side monster, whatever one that was used to, like, hurt Cassie was pretty cool. It was, like, a lizard thing with a long tongue that could, like, switch.
The focus is more on the villains themselves. The side monsters are background, which is cool.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, even the side monsters, you know, like, they serve their purpose. Like, they serve their purpose in the show, and it's just really cool. Like, overall... like, as far as Rangers seasons go, as far as writing and consistency, storytelling, fights, everything like that, like, while it's not Oscar-worthy or anything by any means, but if we're going to create a 1 to 10 scale, strictly for Power Rangers, like don't compare it to any other franchise.
Yeah, just don't compare Power it to, like, other TV shows.
Don't necessarily compare it to anything else, but on a 1 to 10 scale of Power Rangers, this is a 10. Like, this is a 10 out of 10 for Power Rangers.
I think we're all in that. It's a 10, for me, it's a 10 out of 10. There's no...
Yeah, on a
no
scale
no other season,
of,
I think, can top this.
Yeah, definitely.
And the big thing about that is that it is... I think it's the most perfect season.
Yeah.
Scotty, 10
guys,
out of
10? I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
Really?
Only because several reasons here.
I will throw that they did because of what they did to Billy.
One, no Phantom Ranger reveal.
Sure.
Two, these last 4 or 5 episodes here could have been a big 5-part thing that led us into the whole Zordon plot more. And maybe we get to see more of what Phantom Ranger and Robert Kopp have been up to instead of getting this stupid episode 41. Like, they could have used those episodes better, I think. Towards the end. I mean, the last 2 episodes are great, but it could have been spaced out more so we get to see more than just, you know, Trey just hanging out getting captured. You know, and, like, we see Gold Ranger and maybe, like, a shot of Pyramidus coming out of Pyramidus, and they could have utilized it. Instead of making it 2, they could have stretched it out a little bit better. But the Psycho Rangers are awesome.
Yeah.
Matty already touched on the uniforms themselves. I mean... Astronomer, great as a villain, also great as Caron, you know. TJ's character growth in this season, amazing. Cassie kind of goes from, you know, the stoner singer chick to just kind of being there. She probably has the least characterization of anybody in there, except for the one episode about the...
Mm-hmm.
The where she's forced on a date with a diary. Ashley's kind of the hot chick throughout the whole season.
Oh, yeah. And boy, is she.
Zane, I mean, Zane. I think we touched enough on Zane. There's nothing more to say about the guy. I mean, he's the guy that everybody wants to be. You know what I mean?
Dude, I want to be him. You know?
I wish we would get a little bit cosplay. More also Rita Zed, Machine Empire towards the end instead of just, and Diva Tox towards
Zane
the end. Instead
single-handedly
of,
would make Captain Kirk and Picard look like a bitch.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, And going back to, like, my score, like, I don't necessarily give it a 10 because I think it's flawless, but I genuinely think quality-wise for what it was, like, it was a 10. Like, it's enjoyable.
With the exception, I will say, Scotty, those things bother me.
I agree with all that.
But a 10 production, story, and for as a Power Rangers season, it is perfect.
Yeah.
And also, Justin not being in the finale.
I think it's perfect. I think there's very minimal wrong with it, except for those little things. But I'm not going to knock it one whole point, because so far there has not been a season still to this day that I'm probably going to watch this again in 10 years to show my kid and say this is the greatest season of Power Rangers.
I'm knocking it a point just based on producers and Saban being total douchebags and not giving Billy as the Phantom Ranger at the end. That gets the 1 point. I mean, I gave Zeo a 9 too, right? I gave Mighty Morphin an 8.
I don't remember what I gave Zeo.
I gave Mighty Morphin an 8 because season 3 was so weak. Mm-hmm. And because season 2 they had to change the Rangers.
Yeah.
But I gave Zeo a 9 because I thought Zeo was just amazing, like, from start to finish.
You said Zeo didn't start until Jason came in.
Pretty much, yeah. But I looked back on the episode and said the writing and the growth.
Definitely
and
got better.
Them as a Rangers team were just amazing together. Especially adding Jason. This Rangers team really comes into their own this season. I'm interested in every character, even though Carlos is a total screw-up. But, you know, he's the Rocky of the group, so...
More or less.
But from, you know, Joe said it too. Production values, everything. This show saved the Power Rangers franchise.
Yeah, you know? It's the reason why we still have it to this day.
Literally.
So... And I thought to myself, how the hell can they top this? And quite frankly, they got pretty fucking close.
I don't think they ever truly top it. There are other seasons.
The expectations
that get pretty good.
The next three seasons that this had to follow did pretty fucking good.
I would say jumping ahead, I would say the seasons that come close in terms of like writing and stuff for me is definitely like maybe SPD. Like gets really good, this quality of good in some places. Mm-hmm. I personally also love Lightspeed Rescue. I don't necessarily think it's good, but it's post Zordon era. I like Lightspeed, but anyway, that's getting ahead of myself. But the bottom line is nothing really tops this.
We're knee deep here in Lost Galaxy too. We started watching Lost Galaxy episodes, so I mean. Everyone knows me and Joe are big Lost Galaxy fans.
Yeah,
like,
me not so much. I don't hate the show. I think even as a kid, part of the problem I had with it was that it was another space season directly after space, but with like new people. So in my opinion, I found it weird that if you were gonna do a second season in space,
bro,
so
it's just great
Space Rangers.
Yeah, like why did you completely?
It's weird.
It's
not the Zordon era. It literally officially ends after In Space, but. Galaxy is literally
it's a sequel.
It's a sequel to space.
It continues.
It's a full-blown sequel
literally,
to space.
I mean, from stuff we forgot from, yeah. I mean, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we will.
But, I mean...
I definitely don't think it, like... I don't know. I mean, we are still early on, and I know the show does get better as time goes on, especially, spoiler
Magnet
alert,
Defender.
Certain someone takes over as a series regular. But, But yeah, I guess once we watch the show all the way through, I'll have more final thoughts. But at least from what I can remember as a kid, I didn't like it as much. And definitely one of the reasons why I didn't like it as much was even as a kid, I always felt it was a little bit silly that they have like the Charlie Brown zigzag like on their chests. I know it's supposed to be teeth. I get it. I know it's supposed to look like a mouth. But literally, they look like Charlie Brown Rangers.
Oh, I never even fucking thought of that.
But,
Never thought of that.
Well, because when they morph, you literally see it go like...
I was thinking the same thing, the logo. So, I mean, just the way it was
designed. And as a kid, that, like, bothered me. I'm like, why are they Charlie Brown? But other than that, like...
Lost Galaxy just had the coolest toys. As a kid also.
Some of the toys were solid.
They do have Furio, guys.
If Furio's cool, we get Deviant. Look, I definitely say we get some of the cooler monster designs going forward, starting with Lost Galaxy. Like, In Space kind of starts the trend, but, like, in some of the prior seasons, we had some really goofy, like, Monster of the Week monsters, but, like, now we start getting, like, better quality looking, you know, monsters.
The music gets a little weaker, though.
Yeah, that's something I forgot to mention. I don't know what happened during the production of this of In Space. Like, I'm going
In
back
Space
to In Space
has one of the greatest theme songs of all time.
But going back to In Space
and the
for a minute.
The 3-5.
Going back for a moment. Like, in the beginning of the series, we're still getting music from, like, Ron Wasserman, who's been doing the music for the entire time. But about halfway through the I don't really recall where it stops, but I think it's close to, like, the first Dark Specter's Revenge or something like that, that all of a sudden, the only, like, Ron Wasserman music we get is the theme song at the beginning of the show. Afterwards, we get this really goofy, generic, like,
cartoony type,
sounds like somebody trying to do a not copyrighted version of, like, Star Wars music, almost. And it remains that way for, like, the remainder of the post-Zordon Saban era. Like, Lost Galaxy, Lightspeed Rescue, Time Force. Like, they all get this really generic,
Time Force
music.
Is the last of the Saban era?
I think Before Wild Disney? Force was, like, the transition into Disney.
I think Disney was Wild Force.
Yes, it was.
It was like a handoff. Like I think Saban still had some say. I could be wrong. I'm actually not going to say anything because I don't know 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But at least for the remainder of the Saban era of Rangers, we get some really crappy music. And that is one thing that I will say. It gets a little annoying because still, we get reminded it's a kid's show every time we hear the music from here on out.
Space gives us a definitive end here. I mean, we know pretty much.
We can move on. That's
pretty much
like
after this that, you know, Zordon is gone. We don't see Alpha 5 again until Forever Red.
But,
oh, it's not actually Alpha 5, by the way. It's Alpha 7.
Alpha 7, really?
It's Alpha 7. They just, they rebuilt, Andros pretty much rebuilt. There's in the Forever Red, production notes and all the it's more or less it's the production notes. There's something changed, and when we get to it, I'll talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah, I know a little bit of the backstory for Forever Red.
In Space is just a total non letdown after Turbo. I mean, they really hit a home run after Turbo. I mean, because Zio was so good. I love Zio. I know Joe loves Zio too.
I love a lot of Zio.
Space, really, I mean, especially with, you know, the original Rangers being gone, and we really start getting into, you know, TJ and the other Rangers that took over, because they're not the replacement Rangers anymore. Like Maddie said, they don't suffer from being the replacements because they're in a different series, and they really come into their own this season. In Space is very enjoyable. Definitely recommend it. Overall, as a series, I agree with the guys. Definitely better than Mighty Morphin. As much as I love Mighty Morphin, as from a series standpoint, I mean, In Space gives you just about and ties up every loose end of the Zordon era, pretty much, except for You Know What, which I said a million times. But
yeah,
it was very fun to review this series. It wasn't that tedious thing like we were stretching out, you know, to get through Turbo.
Now we're at single seasons.
Yeah. From now on, the seasons are mostly self-contained. They'll make references to, like, previous seasons sometimes.
I consider seasons 1-6 literally one whole show in itself.
One era. Because
it is. Yeah. It's one giant story. But from here on out, they start to follow the Sentai formula a lot more, where, like, every season is a new cast, a new setting, you know, and everything.
Did like, when they became, forward. Like, Super Mega Force and Super Dino Charge, did it... Was it a different Sentai they used in half the second season?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a weird thing with Nickelodeon. Because,
so, when
like,
Nickelodeon made that choice.
The modern Sentais, the modern Power Rangers shows that are on Nickelodeon, or at least were on Nickelodeon, it belongs to Hasbro now. One of the, like, weird things that Nickelodeon forced them to do is that Power Rangers shows, for the most part, every season is somewhere between, like, 40-something episodes to 50-something episodes. But Nickelodeon didn't want that. They were only allowing them to do, like, 20-episode seasons. But because the Sentais are, like, 50 episodes long, the way they worked around this is they split the seasons that are on Nickelodeon into two halves. So we, like, starting with Samurai, they do Samurai, and then the second half is Super Samurai.
Which I think Nickelodeon was smart about, because you think about it, they're trying to play catch-up with the Sentai, so it's only a year behind. That's why Hasbro was literally going back 3 or 2 years to go get fucking GoBusters.
It's way more than 2 years.
And put it in to put it in now. So that way the current season they have now of Sentai, which what like the 8 Rangers of like the Crayola Crayon ones.
Yeah.
Like 9 of them is going to be the season after that.
Yeah.
Which is their plan, which basically they're trying to play catch up.
Yeah. I mean, which is fine.
You think about the more they go back, it's we can never go back and get Jetman, let's be honest.
I wouldn't say that, but it would definitely be a lot of legality stuff that they probably don't want to deal with. So. But that's getting ahead of ourselves. Like, we're kind of jumping all over the place.
But nonetheless, I think it's about time we wrap it up.
Yeah. Guys, just, we know you're listening. Give us your comments. Give us some feedback.
Yeah.
We'd really like to hear what you think about our podcast. We know you're listening, so... You know, whether positive or negative, you know, we want to hear from you.
Yeah, we still want to, like, hear your ideas, thoughts, you know, whatever. You know, don't be shy.
Yeah, so that's, well, from all of us here, we wish you a happy new year. Please be safe. Don't drink and drive. Take an Uber, an Astro Megaship, whatever you want.
Something.
Just something. More or less, we appreciate you guys. You guys could be doing anything in the world, but you're spending it listening to us, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, hope we've made your lunch break at work or your car rides, you know, somewhat enjoyable.
So we thank you guys, and from all of us here, Scotty, the way we end in space,
guys, let's rock it.